The park. A faint crackling sound, like a fire in a fireplace. Something warm and wet tickled Grant's ankle. He opened his eyes and saw an enormous beige head. The head tapered to a flat mouth, shaped like the bill of a duck. The eyes, protruding above the flat duck bill, were gentle and soft like a cow's. The duck mouth opened and chewed branches on the limb where Grant was sitting. He saw large, flat teeth in the cheek. The warm lips touched his ankle again as the animal chewed. A duck-billed hadrosaur. He was astonished to see it up close. Not that he was afraid. All the species of duck-billed dinosaurs were herbivorous, and this one acted exactly like a cow. Even though it was huge, its manner was so calm and peaceful, Grant didn't feel threatened. He stayed where he was on the branch, careful not to move, and watched as it ate. The reason Grant was astonished was that he had a proprietary feeling about this animal. It was probably a miasaur from the late Cretaceous in Montana. With John Horner, Grant had been the first to describe the species. Miasaurs had an upcurved lip, which gave them the appearance of smiling. The name meant good mother lizard. Miasaurs were thought to protect their eggs until the babies were born and could take care of themselves. Grant heard an insistent chirping and the big head swung down. He moved just enough to see the baby hadrosaur scampering around the feet of the adult. The baby was dark beige with black spots. The adult bent her head low to the ground and waited, unmoving, while the baby stood up on its hind legs, resting its front legs on the mother's jaw, and ate the branches that protruded from the side of the mother's mouth. The mother waited patiently until the baby had finished eating and dropped back down to all fours again. Then the big head came back up toward Grant. The hadrosaur continued to eat, just a few feet from him. Grant looked at the two elongated air holes on top of the flat upper bill. Apparently the dinosaur couldn't smell Grant. And even though the left eye was looking right at him, for some reason the hadrosaur didn't react to him. He remembered how the tyrannosaur had failed to see him the previous night. Grant decided on an experiment. He coughed. Instantly the hadrosaur froze, the big head suddenly still, the jaws no longer chewing. Only the eye moved, looking for the source of the sound. Then after a moment, when there seemed to be no danger, the animal resumed chewing. Amazing, Grant thought. Sitting in his arms, Lex opened her eyes and said, "Hey, what's that?" The hadrosaur trumpeted in alarm, a loud, resonant honk that so startled Lex that she nearly fell out of the tree. The hadrosaur pulled its head away from the branch and trumpeted again. "Don't make her mad," Tim said from the branch above. The baby chirped and scurried beneath the mother's legs as the hadrosaur stepped away from the tree. The mother cocked her head and peered inquisitively at the branch where Grant and Lex were sitting. With its upturned smiling lips, the dinosaur had a comical appearance. "Is it dumb?" Lex said. "No," Grant said, "you just surprised her." "Well," Lex said, "is she gonna let us get down or what?" The hadrosaur had backed 10 feet away from the tree. She honked again. Grant had the impression she was trying to frighten them away. But the dinosaur didn't really seem to know what to do. She acted confused and uneasy. They waited in silence, and after a minute the hadrosaur approached the branch again, jaws moving in anticipation. She was clearly going to resume eating. "Forget it," Lex said. "I'm not staying here." She started to climb down the branches. At her movement, the hadrosaur trumpeted in fresh alarm. Grant was amazed. He thought, "It really can't see us when we don't move. And after a minute, it literally forgets that we're here." This was just like the tyrannosaur, another classic example of an amphibian visual cortex. Studies of frogs had shown that amphibians only saw moving things like insects. If something didn't move, they literally didn't see it. The same thing seemed to be true of dinosaurs. In any case, the miasaur now seemed to find these strange creatures climbing down the tree too upsetting. With a final honk, she nudged her baby and lumbered slowly away. She paused once and looked back at them, then continued on. They reached the ground. Lex shook herself off. Both children were covered in a layer of fine dust. All around them, the grass had been flattened. There were streaks of blood and a sour smell. Grant looked at his watch. "We better get going, kids," he said. Not me, Lex said. I'm not walking out there anymore.
We have to.
Why? Because, Grant said, we have to tell them about the boat. Since they can't seem to see us on the motion sensors, we have to go all the way back ourselves. It's the only way.
Why can't we take the raft? Tim said.
What raft? Tim pointed to the low concrete maintenance building with the bars where they had spent the night. It was 20 yards away across the field.
I saw a raft back there, he said.
Grant immediately understood the advantages. It was now 7 o'clock in the morning. They had at least 8 miles to go. If they could take a raft along the river, they would make much faster progress than going overland.
Let's do it, Grant said.
End of side 8.